It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Marandure, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us this week.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon to you. And how are you?
I am well. Thank you very much, Pastor. Appreciate you coming through and talking to us.
Praise God so much.
Indeed, Mfundisi. So our question for today is why? Why do sacred texts, such as we believe the Bible, both testaments, the old and the new, they contain morally questionable passages? And I want to give you examples here, Mfundisi, so that you understand exactly what it is that we're talking about here. Society has agreed that we do not agree. We no longer find slavery acceptable. Society the world over has agreed and accepted that a moral standard that no one should go below or beneath is that of slavery being abolished. But when you look into our Bible, the Bible doesn't seem to be against slavery at all. Quite frankly, God appears to be regulating slavery. Yes, you can beat your slave, and if he regains consciousness, you're not guilty. Yes, you can take your slave and give him to your master, and he can sleep with her as much as he... It seems morally deplorable, Mfundisi. It's really, really... It's challenging for a Christian to read the Bible, and then we have people who are going to quote the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So I suspect that's a person's question here. Why? Why do sacred scriptures, sacred texts contain morally questionable passages? How do you respond to this, Mfundisi?
Wow, that's so interesting. We need to appreciate something here, that from the moment Adam and Eve fell short of the glory of God, a lot of things, more like a floodgate of sin, is what the devil did not say that you'll be free, happened. And in these things, we have a lot of things that are nasty, that are happening. And by the way, the Bible is in two ways.
Is
prescriptive. Yes. So everything the Bible that it says or that it mentions, which is actually prescriptive, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean the Bible condones, doesn't mean the Bible advocates for such, but also the Bible is descriptive in a way that it shows us the magnitude of what sin has done to ourselves, how much it has destroyed our well-being and our moral social fabric. So that's also that some of the things that we learn when we see things that have to do with slavery, things that have to do with people being forced into marriage with people they may not really want or never intended to. It doesn't mean that when it's in the Bible, it is acceptable. But God is also on the other side trying to what sin can do, what human beings are capable of doing if the Holy Spirit is not in charge. So that's what we find there. And those things that may be disturbing, when we read such things, we should say, oh God, help us. I wish that you can hasten the day when sin will cease to have its hold and its grip on us. And the end of slavery, the end of early child marriages, and all those things that are nasty that we encounter in the Bible. So those are descriptive sections of the Bible, but not prescriptive, what the Bible then prescribed to say, this is what you ought to do, as what he would suggest in the Decalogue or the Torah in the book of the law.
Well, that's exactly what I was bringing your attention to. And the examples I was giving you, Mfundisi, are examples of prescriptions by Yahweh. And for example, the one verse that cannot be disputed as prescriptive is one found in the book of Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21 has been, it has been used as a rock to throw at me, as a stick to beat me every time we discuss with my colleagues. God is regulating slavery there. He's prescribing slavery and how it's supposed to be done. And I want to read it for people who may not know. I'm reading from Exodus chapter 21, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. So it reads, "Now these are the rules that you shall set before them when you buy a Hebrew slave." Right there, Mfundisi, you get shocked. When you buy a person, God is regulating buying of a person? But no, 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 it doesn't stop there, Mfundisi. It says, "He shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh, he shall go out free for nothing." So God wants a person to be bought, and that person should be bought and to become a slave, and that slave must remain a slave for 7 years. That's prescriptive. That's not descriptive, Mfundisi. That's prescriptive. When God God instructs Saul, King Saul, the first king of the Israelites, to go and kill the Amalekites, that's prescription. What we are complaining about happening in the Gaza Strip, being genocide, God is instructing genocide with the people of Palestine, people of Amalek. That's prescriptive. That's not descriptive. Help me understand why we have scriptures and we elevate them. They are prescriptive and we elevate them to, okay, why are they there?
Okay, now I'll get to the first one and then the second one. The first one is talking about God instructing being prescriptive on how a person must handle the purchase of a slave.
A Hebrew slave, his own brother, a Hebrew slave.
Exactly. So now, this, when we learn the Bible, we should also learn the Bible in its context, not merely by its text. When I'm talking of context, I'm talking of the wider read of the Bible, understanding also the culture that informed that writing of the verse or the text or the passage or the book. The Bible is not free from culture and tradition that was then in that time. It's not coming from a vacuum. It's not coming straight from heaven. It is detached from what is happening here online.
That chapter we're talking about, it comes straight from heaven. This is the voice of God speaking to Moses to give instructions on the people. That's not culture. The purchasing those are regulations that flow from God. It's not human beings. It's God speaking there to Moses.
No. I'm actually saying when the Bible is being put together, the Bible is actually addressing things that are happening right there. Which are normal, which are known, which are happening right there. So there was slavery, which was normal. In quotes, it was normal because remember, these people were not God-fearing, so they could do anything. This is why then God says to Israel, "I have handpicked you from amongst many nations that were doing that which was evil." And the other thing that God was wrestling with was to try and take out the traditions that these people had to normalize and to bring them, making them, molding them to be his own people. So slavery was something that was normal. So God would not come and just say, no to this, no to this, but yet to walk with them in a process, trying to show them that you are different from these people.
But he did, though, Mfundisi, he did say no to this, no to that. When he was taking them out of Egypt, he did say, you must not do the thing that you learned in Egypt. He did instruct them on how to dress, which is unlike what they learned in Egypt. They should not cut their hair like they did in Egypt. They should not mock their bodies like they did in Egypt. There are many things that God has prescribed that he said no to this. The question here is, why did God not say no to slavery as well?
But this is where we see now, it's a transitional period or a transitional phase, which was not an overnight. I really appreciate that they're being told what you were doing in Egypt, you are not supposed to do now. But listen, they went for some time still holding on to some principles that were in Egypt, and even before Egypt, they still held on to that, and these things were winged out slowly as they were progressing. This is why now we say, when we come to the New Testament, now we cease to hear of that which was happening then. Why? Because now there was some time that was...
But we do, Mfundis, we do in the New Testament. Paul continues this abomination of slavery. He instructs slaves to go back to their masters. He instructs slaves to obey their masters as unto the Lord. This abomination of slavery continues, Mfundis, in the New Testament. This is what I'm suggesting is just an example of a morally questionable instruction or injunction that is in the Bible. And the person is asking, why? Why is it there? Or perhaps, is God not against slavery? Because it appears both in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. Quite frankly, you don't find anywhere where God says slavery is wrong. God never says slavery must be abolished. Nowhere in all the 66 books of the Bible do we find God saying slavery is wrong, slavery must be abolished, and there must be abolitionism as a movement. We don't see that in the scriptures. Why?
That's a very good question. That really needs a lot of further study. If God is for slavery, and yet we are saying a human being has right to be free.
Right.
And yet, however, this, like I said, this thing was there. Like, even what was his name, Philemon, was once also a slave, and who had run away from his master.
Right.
And Paul still said, no, you need to go back. You need to go back to Onesimus. But now Onesimus is now going to accept you not as a slave, but now as a brother. So I think we need also to learn and appreciate that the sin and its impact and its effect on us as human beings, it's not something that will wake up and it's gone. It's a process of trying to correct what had derailed for quite a long period of time in existence. It's not everything that will just go out, and also not everything that we will say this is wrong and it will find a direct text that will say, you shall not smoke.
Right.
You will not find that in the Bible at all. But smoking is not good. This we all agree. But in the Bible, it's not there. It's just not there. We are not even told that we should not take drugs. It's not there.
Right.
The word itself, drug, is not even the Bible.
Yeah.
But today, the whole world is against the drugs for what they do.
Right.
So also, not everything, we should look for a verse and look for what God has said explicitly about it, so that we then say, here, God said this. You will not find all those things. But what we need now to work on is working on from principle. Is this right? Is this not right? Are we not now here looking down upon a fellow human being in the image of God and treat them with the same treatment, if not less than what we do with animals, which are our pets? Because I know of people who treat a fellow human being who may not be a slave, but on a salary, a manservant or a maid on a salary, but treated less than a servant or less than an animal, where they can prefer to put their dog on a seat and the fellow human being sits in the back out there.
Hey.
But on a salary. Only salary, not a slave. But in the Bible, you will not find all those things. They are not directly, explicitly said, but it's not good. But we are just being shown how evil a human heart can be towards a fellow human being. Not that God condones. Yes. Yeah.
Mfundis, I'm going to invite you. Definitely will invite you to talk about slavery. We need some time to talk about, to address the issue of slavery. It's a very painful one. But thank you very much for answering our questions. It's been a brilliant conversation talking with you, Mfundis. We'll talk tomorrow as you answer more questions for the rest of the week. Have a wonderful day, Mfundis. Thank you.
Thank you so much. A wonderful day to you too.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.